Hello and welcome to Social Media Weekly episode 10th November 2021. Social Media Weekly is brought to you by Virtual Palace Marketing, rehumanizing your marketing experience. My name is Sean.
And I'm Jay.
This week's news, Pinterest kept losing users. Pinterest has lost 24 million monthly active users in its Q2 2021 announcement. And this quarter, it revealed it lost another 10 million.
That's
around 34 in total. This is most likely due to many regions in the world coming out of lockdowns and returning to physical stores. During the lockdown period, Pinterest added over 100 million active users. Quite good business for them, huh?
Yep.
While revenue from ads are still steady, the people in the company think more needs to be done to keep users from leaving their virtual shopping habits and going back to the physical ones.
My question is for you. Have you used Pinterest before?
I used to use Pinterest to... Okay, I like using Pinterest to actually window shop on stuff, looking for ideas. When I renovate house, I will use Pinterest, looking for ideas, themes and all that. So I pin everything in and then I will pass it over to my contractor and everything to convert those ideas into reality.
Yeah, for me, I don't know why. At one point of time, Pinterest visual images were way much compelling compared to Instagram. Won't you agree?
Yes.
At one point of time, like, it was so weird.
Yeah. So, I think what Pinterest used to be with window shopping, virtual window shopping, you can do in Instagram now.
Yep, correct.
But I think Pinterest has is a more community-based type of style.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Instagram is a little bit more of you go to the channel and then the channel or the account curates all the stuff for you. Instead of Pinterest is a type where everybody contributes to the same category. Yeah, okay. Same genre, same category. So I think the variety and the kind of stuff that you get in Pinterest is still a lot more than what you get in Instagram. No, more vibrant, I would say, yeah.
Correct. Like I said earlier, like even last time, I used to find like good visual images on Pinterest compared to Instagram. Right now, it seems like, do you feel that Instagram have the upper hand when it comes to this?
No. I still use Pinterest when I want to do these kind of like, when I want to look for inspirations.
So guys, check out Pinterest if you're looking for inspirations and ideas to renovate your home as well.
Yes, I use it to renovate my home, so it's actually quite good. And so the question here is that, they gained that 100 million during COVID.
Yep.
And so the question for Pinterest now is that, will they lose all the 100 million or will they find a way to keep what's left of the 100 million, which is about 66 million of them? Because you already lost 34, so 66 million. This is an estimate. It's not really, definitely that amount, but it's an estimate, an approximate. What can Pinterest do to keep these people from leaving and going back into the physical stores to do shopping? So that's what they have to deal with.
I guess it's... I mean, I think Pinterest need to do a little bit more research how to actually bounce back from this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I wish you all the best, Pinterest. I have faith in you.
Me too.
All right, next. Clubhouse adds support to 13 languages. Clubhouse just introduced 13 new languages on Android, which they hope will bring more users into the app. They are French, German, Hindi, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Kannada, correct me if I'm wrong?
Yeah.
Korean, Malayalam, Portuguese, Brazilian, Spanish, Tamil, and Telugu. The language support will be added to iOS soon as well. Meanwhile, India uptake on the app is continuing to rise with over 10 million downloads from that region alone to date. That's 1/3 of all their downloads globally. I'm so glad that finally Clubhouse is bringing all these different languages. Like, finally I can learn French, and never to forget, I can't speak my mother tongue.
Can you learn French with Clubhouse?
I prefer I learn let's just say for an instance, I asked you, how do you speak in Mandarin? How do you say, how are you in Mandarin? And then when you tell me, ni hao ma, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, that's how I learn. So instead of like giving me like synonyms, not synonyms, like, you know, words and stuff like that, I prefer learning it from somebody directly, because that's how you learn. for me lah, personally, I'm not so sure about you, but I'm glad, like, because they're bringing all of these languages, and I guess, like, finally, like, for instance, Hindi, I can't speak Hindi, you know, and it's one of my mother tongues as well, and it would be nice to actually start getting back track on my mother tongue.
Yep. So what you're saying now is that you hope that with all these 13 languages, these supports added, you hope that people who speak these native languages will start using Clubhouse on their native language instead of English, and you can join their rooms and hopefully be able to learn language from them and be able to speak with them. Yes, I agree with this, because I used to know, well, I used to take a lot of Japanese lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you for definite, for 100% surety now, that I don't know how to speak a single word of Japanese at this point.
Oh.
When someone speaks to me, I know what it means, but I cannot speak a single word. And I believe that the key to language, the key to be able to use the language very well, comes down to practice. If you don't practice, whatever language you use, you lose it.
True, true.
One of the reasons why we come from Malay schools, but we can't speak Malay right now.
Yeah.
Because there isn't enough opportunity for us to speak the language all over.
And I mean, unless you go to the mama quite often, like, amang roti susu satu.
Even so, for that, right?
There's limitations.
Still, yeah, it's still very basic ones. Yep. But when you want to hold a proper conversation with someone on something deep, right? You can't.
Yep.
Because you'd be like, what's that word that I always used to use, but I just can't find it anymore? So, yeah. I hope, and I like this because Clubhouse is... by adding support to all these languages, Clubhouse is immediately looking into global market.
Yep.
Instead of what Snapchat used to do by trying to build on the American market first before realizing, hey, I think we should build on the global market.
Yep.
And then they start to expand again. And I like that there are, I guess, essentially 4 Indian dialects within these 13 languages. So I don't know if they're called dialects or languages. I think they're full-on languages,
Yes, they are full-on languages, because all of it with their pronunciations, all of it is
completely
different.
But these are spoken and well-practiced within India themselves, right? And that goes to show how much Clubhouse wants to really, really expand in India.
Yeah, it's... I mean, like, I think they have about, like, how many, like, native languages.
They actually have a few hundred native languages. Yep. And most of them, 95% of them, do not have a written format.
Yep.
So this is where Clubhouse thrives, because with no written format, these languages and dialects will very quickly die off.
Yep.
But with apps like Clubhouse, you can continue to converse in these languages, communicate in these languages. Then what happens is that the language and dialect will live on verbally in the audio format. So that's good.
So, Sean, would you be interested in learning Tamil in Clubhouse?
I actually used to know a little bit here and there. I know how to order a pack of 20s Dunhill from but that's about it. And I know when someone's cursing at me. Alright, moving forward. Snapchat, Snap launches new certification course. The new course is called Snapchat Ads Manager Optimization, and it includes 5 courses. It's a 5-course certification to help advertisers perform better on the platform. So these 5 courses are as follows. The first one is Visualize Data Campaign, which is to build custom reports to meet your needs, quickly monitor performance and determine optimizations. Second one is Troubleshoot Campaign Performance, which is to identify and resolve non-performance across your campaigns and troubleshoot issues related to bidding, budget, and creative. The third one is to optimize performance in flight, which is to adjust delivery setting to increase campaign efficiency, as well as levers that can increase engagement for your intended audience. Then the fourth one, to apply learnings to future campaigns using split testing and delivery insights to inform future campaigns and grow your audience. And the fifth one's to get ad support, to discover the best way to get help from ad support through Business Help Center and live chat. So if all else fails, the fifth one is the one where you get their staff to help you out. This course is actually quite complex, as many people have already pointed out. It's not one of those very easy to gain kind of certifications, and would only award you with a certification of completion if you score over 80%.
That's
so you go 60, so it's not a 50% thing, right? You need to be 80% and above in order for you to get a certification.
Just want to clarify, this 80%, we are not having by grades, right? This is 80% just to pass, just to get the certification.
Just to get a certification.
Yes.
Maybe not a distinction.
Not
it's a distinction for the rest of the world, but it is a passing for Snapchat level. With this course, Snap hopes that more brands will be able to better find agencies that are competent at running effective ads for them. So the biggest problem with marketing agencies, sorry, like I guess businesses, mm-hmm. getting marketing the right marketing agencies to run proper ads for them is that most of them have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
Most agencies have no idea what they're doing. And they pretend to know what they're doing. So they run ads and then the ads don't work. And then they say, well, Facebook doesn't work or Snapchat doesn't work. But it's not that. Facebook works.
Yep.
But do you know how to run ads for them?
Correct.
That is the question, right? So we here, we have people who are certified by Facebook and Google who know how to run ads for our clients. But there are a lot of fly-by-night, very like small-time freelancer companies or individuals who have no idea how to do this, but then they pretend they know how to do it. And at the end, they can't give you the answer, but they don't want to blame themselves, so they blame Facebook or they blame Snapchat or they blame something. So these kind of certifications help in...
And with that, it's a bit difficult for, companies to explore more, because if they have a first bad image of it, like it's a first impression of Facebook ads, even they have this, when they have that, and when they want to jump on to another, let's just say an agency or something like that, it's a bit difficult because they are traumatized from,
yes,
I spent this amount of money and they didn't get anything and it was bad, like, and they wouldn't want to explore more,
Yeah.
So
and they straight away say it doesn't work, let's go find some other method of doing it. So these companies, Facebook, Google, and Snapchat, they say, hold on, it's not our fault that it doesn't work, right? Let's come up with a certification. So next time when you find someone with a certification.
Yep.
Then the chances of them getting it right is a lot higher.
And guys, we have certification to come to us.
Yes.
Right, but actually one more thing though. I really hope the Business Help Center and live chat is more efficient compared to Facebook. That's
yes.
one thing. I think y'all can agree upon that. Like,
it's not very difficult to be good at live chat and help center because
it's all
compared
about
to Facebook, because Facebook's version is non-existent. I think it's by intention. It's not by accident. It's by intention. The way they do it in such a way that they don't want to deal with all these problems.
I guess they're just running, trying to run away, I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
Mark, Anne, what are you doing? All right, next. Twitter lets non-users tune into Spaces. Twitter has just announced that non-Twitter users can now use a link to join Spaces via the web browser. This is a good news for broadcasters as it opens their discussions up to people who do not use Twitter. But guys, hold on. There are limitations as well, though. Non-users cannot use the chat function, can't be invited on as a guest, and can't react to discussions. Seems like a fair trade. If that someone sees value in Spaces, they would eventually sign as a user to join, to enjoy full perks. And when thinking about all of this, it feels very much like what Twitter is doing right now is like leaving a bait there. Mm. And when if you bite, you like what you see, you're gonna, you're still gonna jump into Twitter eventually.
And you stay on for more, yeah.
Correct. So I like how Twitter is playing around with space right now, and how are they trying to attract new users as well. And it's a very, very smart move, to be honest.
I agree. And it's good for people who host these events as well, because if I'm on Clubhouse, the only people who can attend my event, let's say, or my talk, are people who already have a Clubhouse account.
Yep.
But what Twitter says is anybody can do it. You just drop a link, right? Ask them to sign into a link. You don't have to sign up. It could be a one-off thing. People who don't use Twitter can just join for that one time.
Yep.
Attend your thing, and if they like it, they can sign up as a user. If they don't like it, they can always come back again as just a listener.
Correct. I mean, like, you can use, if you, let's just say you don't want to sign up on Twitter, I mean, it's completely fine, because either way, you can use Spaces as a podcast
platform. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, you go to the gym or you have a walk or something like that, you can just hear two people having conversations. I mean, I really like how they are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's a bit, I feel it's like, it's very slippery kind of move, what they're doing.
Well, with competition, they always find ways to improve themselves,
correct,
right? And I like what Twitter and Clubhouse are competing to do, to build better and better audio social network. And that's the whole point of competition.
And I love this competition because it's very much healthy. And at the same time, you can see the improvements that is done within both of these platforms.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly.
It's phenomenal.
And they're both angled towards a different kind of goal.
Yes.
To say. For now, maybe they will soon converge again. Last up, which is Meta may open retail stores. So now, from now on, we will address Facebook as the holding company as Meta, no longer Facebook, because it's no longer Facebook, right? So when I say Meta, it's Facebook, which is Meta. Seeing as Meta is planning to make hardware support to support its upcoming AR and VR social media, it only makes sense for the company to start opening up retail outlets as well. Last week, I think we talked about, or last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about them, you know, building hardware to support their software and all that. And at this point now, it makes sense that they have to open a retail store to supply all these things. It has been proven that if you want to push your products out at a pace that you like, it's best done with your own outlets, because Apple does that, Samsung does that, Microsoft does that. Google, not so, which is why Google hardware is not being pushed as well globally compared to these other counterparts.
Yep.
So possible devices that will fill stores, store shelves in the near future, which are stuff that they already have or will have, which are the Oculus line of VR hardware, the AR glasses built with Ray-Bans, which is the fake snap glasses, the Portal Video, which is home entertainment and video calling device, which you put around your house and then, you know, it's not very useful, but some people buy it anyway. And the upcoming smartwatch, which they say can the smartwatch concept is quite interesting.
Okay.
Because why? It's not only a watch. What it does is it actually has this haptic feature as well, where it actually senses how your hand and gesture controls. So what Meta wants to do with this smartwatch is they want it to connect with either your AR glasses or your VR goggles to become a virtual hand to interact with whatever that is projected onto the screen.
Hold. Speechless.
Yes.
That's it.
So I am very much looking forward to this, not because of Meta, but because when they build this, other makers will build it as well. And hopefully this will push us into the metaverse, into the level that we are not at today.
Right.
Quite far ahead. There are also speculations that Meta might build beacons for retail tracking. So what beacons does is actually, retail tracking means, let's say you have a retail shop, right? The entrance, different sections and everything like that. They put beacons there to interact with your phone or interact with whatever device that you have, so that whenever you're within the region, it pings that device. It tells you that, oh, I am there and I'm there for such and such how long. That means I am interested in that something. And I am connected to an account somewhere, or maybe it's a Facebook account, maybe it's an IP address, whatever it is. So that connection is form of like tracking on the retail level. So this, they hope, will counter the loss of direct sales data collected, data collection due to Apple's ATT, Apple's app transparency, something, I don't remember what's the name, but ATT. That is the one where Apple, all devices have limited the tracking of all the apps.
I think it's called ATT, app tracking transparency or something like that.
Transparency tracking or tracking transparency. I don't remember how it was written, but yeah, something like that. So so these beacons will be placed around the retail shop or store or malls or whatever to be able to track us again.
I mean, like, I see what Meta is doing right now. It's very much, it's going to be, give it another 5 years down the line, things are going to be very much futuristic.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is going to be VR, like, Ready Player One, bro.
Ready Player One. Mm-hmm.
All right. So with that, Social Media Weekly Podcast is available on Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Our full videos are available on YouTube, and we post bits and clips on Instagram and Facebook.
And Twitter as well now.
And Woohoo! Tweety. Come, join us. TikTok as well. Come.
Sorry. Not Twitter. TikTok. Sorry, we're not on Twitter. No, no, we don't use Twitter. TikTok, yes. Like, okay. We need to update this. We're on TikTok.
Yes.
If you like Social Media Weekly, it would really help if you could rate and review it on the podcast feed of your choice. We are a podcast-centric thing after all. That's the reason why our visuals are not so exciting, because we are a podcast.
Because we are the visuals.
Yes. And also on YouTube, so more can discover it. Social Media Weekly is on the lookout for regular co-hosts to help bring some depth to our show. If you are interested, simply drop me an email at Sean, that is S-H-A-W-N, at virtualpeddlers.com. This is Social Media Weekly, episode 10th November 2021. My name is Sean.
And I'm Jay. And I bid you an adieu.
Stay safe and see you next week.
Bye-bye.